Next on BYUSN, following back-to-back losses, would a win over TCU tomorrow get BYU men's basketball right back on track? Jimmer Fredette joins the show to break down what BYU needs to do to beat TCU and his thoughts on the Cougars' uneasy start to Big 12 play.
Michigan transfer offensive lineman Andrew Gentry makes his BYU Sports Nation debut. Why was BYU the right fit for him? And which Cougars in the NFL have the best chance at advancing out of the wild card round of the NFL playoffs?
Questions for days. We're going to do our best to answer them. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. Happy Friday, January 10th. I am Spencer Linton alongside a man whose favorite play in football, especially college football, is a game-winning field goal, Jerem Jordan.
It's about time a Jeter in Miami did something. Mitch Jeter with Notre Dame last night, game-winning field goal to win. Great fourth quarter, great game in the Orange Bowl as Notre Dame advanced to the national championship game for the first time since 2013. It reminded us of game-winning field goals this year for BYU, namely Will Farron against Utah. And let's just play it again because it's Utah.
Why not?
Vander Haar will hold. There's the snap, the placement, the kick on its way. And it is through 4-3.
It was. And we'll play that every day if needs be, because that was awesome. I was just thinking pre-show. We don't even talk about that win. It's one of like the top two or three wins of the year. That's how good BYU football was this year. I would submit, normally we'd be like, that was number one by far.
Yeah.
By far. It's like, oh, SMU, Colorado, you could argue for Kansas State.
At Baylor became like a really good win.
Right. Is it because Utah was 5-7? Because that's an all-time win against Utah.
The way BYU
there were so
won that
many.
Game.
My point is, there were so many good wins
yes.
for BYU this year.
The way BYU won that game makes it a fun conversation. Like, how much do you put stock into the dramatics of that?
I think that's a trending topic somewhere. Was that the game of the year for BYU?
Oh,
was it Colorado?
It was agonizing for BYU fans for about 59 minutes and 55 seconds.
But it will be celebrated for 59 years.
Incredible.
And 59 days.
Incredible.
Right? Yeah.
Again, I sent this message out over social media a few weeks ago, watching college kickers just screw things up. What a luxury it is for BYU to have Will Farron.
Oh, yeah, that mustache.
Cow.
Come on.
Holy
now.
Cow.
Honor code approved.
All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
In the Big 12 this year, every team is probably going to take back-to-back losses. How do you put the wheels back on, and how do you move forward from it?
And then on the road, you got to dig into the details. So this will be a really good opportunity, you know, to lick our wounds and have to go out and do it the hard way on the road.
BYU men's basketball looking for that clutch factor, and they could use it certainly right now as they go back on the road at 1-2 in Big 12 play to take on TCU. Yesterday, ESPN's Sean Farnham joined the program to discuss how BYU, in his opinion, is running out of time to figure things out. Listen to this.
It's January. It has to click. You're in conference play. You know, I mean, you look across the country right now, and if you don't protect your home court, you're going to struggle to finish in the top half of the conference. Now, one loss doesn't mean anything because you can always get it back, right? Golden opportunity to go to TCU and get a win.
Then there's this. Last night on BYU basketball with Kevin Young, the head coach, talked about how he wished the lessons BYU was learning right now had come earlier in the season.
For me, it's you kind of upset about the way our early season schedule was. You know, we didn't face a whole lot of adversity, you know, and so now we're kind of going through it in conference play. And so we're just having to kind of experience a lot of this stuff for the first time on the fly when it matters most.
Having listened to those two sound bites, the question today, Jerem, is would BYU, in spite of the frustration, get right back on track with a win on the road at TCU?
Yes and no. Beating TCU won't be a quad one necessarily, depending on how things shape out. Like Texas Tech, we think would have been. So that hurts. But in terms of sort of getting back on track and making up for where you felt like you probably should be, which is probably 2-2 after four, sure, that would be on track. It's not just winning, though. It's how BYU's playing, how certain guys are playing. We need to see the NBA potential two play like NBA potential too. Right now, I feel like they're not playing up to kind of what they can be. I expect them to get to that soon. I want to see some 20 pieces more from people. Like, Richie's 30 was like, whoa! But, like, moments like that where it's like, yeah, today Cannon was on fire. He scored 20. Today Trevenel was on fire. He scored 18 or whatever. Yegor, oh, he made three threes. Yep, he's 3 for 6. He's back to what we think he can be. Just, like, good consistency from several, many good players on BYU's team. I think BYU's got, like, 8 to 9 very good players. We're not seeing it come together and coalesce in a way that perhaps we were hoping to at this point. Obviously, we're in a big transition phase in BYU basketball's history. We're into the pro-vo stage. It's taking maybe a little longer to sort of figure that out as a collective group for the returners to sort of integrate on the court in terms of, like, Dallin and Yegor. We've made a lot about kind of that on-court relationship this week.
Injuries play into that.
It's taking time for this staff to get used to the Big 12, for these players to get used to the speed and the physicality of the Big 12. It's not last year's team. It's this year's team. It's a new era. In the long run, this is going to have a lot of dividends for BYU. But we want to have the dividends now. We want to see BYU beat TCU Saturday, and then they have a big stretch coming up where they need to beat Oklahoma State, Utah, and Colorado. Like, BYU needs to win all three of those. And I hope they beat TCU, too, because it's hard to stack together meaningful wins when you don't beat Texas Tech when they shoot under all their averages and you don't shoot well. So, really important game, really important situation this weekend. I think, for the most part, you could probably say, yeah, back on track. But it's I don't want to overreact to single games. Like if BYU loses Saturday and now it's 3 in a row you've lost, that's a real issue. Hoping to avoid 3 losses in a row at any point in the BYU season this year. So it's a big moment in the season right now.
A few things on my mind specifically this morning. One, how does BYU turn things around to be dramatically better on the road? Because in their two true road contests, neither have been close. I know that Yegor Demian went out super early. Well, he played the whole game against Providence, but he was hurt. He clearly was not himself. Sure. Then we learned that he had sustained an injury early in that game. And then you go to Houston, and Houston is maybe the best defensive team in the country.
Will BYU play a game like that again this year? I hope not.
I don't think they will face that level of competition on the road again, outside of Iowa State.
And I don't think they'll play like that against anybody else.
Iowa State is not the defensive juggernaut that Houston is. Iowa State's just an unbelievably well-balanced, high-functioning machine right now.
They're typically a defensive juggernaut, though.
They're not like Houston, is my point. Houston is just bullies people. They just bully you. And maybe Iowa State will do a little bit more of that.
9 in defense, 6 in offense.
Okay.
They're just awesome.
Like I said, balance. Just balance. Like, I don't look at Houston and think amazing offensive team, but I do worry about, oh, my gosh, they'll just bully you on the boards.
Iowa State added the offense this year. Typically, they were, like, good on offense, but defense they were.
They are so balanced and so good. So BYU will face a tough, tough challenge at some point. But, yeah, the number one question for me is, how does BYU turn this thing around when the two – I guess, tests that they have faced on the road have not gone well. So when we ask the question, are they back on track? If BYU can't, if they win on the road, then I am inclined to believe that, okay, now there is something that they have checked off, and we know that they're capable of that. We haven't seen them capable of winning an important road game, even though they haven't had very many.
They got blown out in the two.
Right? Yeah. You just need to play well on the road. So winning against TCU would carry some added weight because of what has transpired this season.
And then win the next three. Those are three of the more winnable games.
Yes, and that's exactly where I was going.
I think BYU has to win all
three. The schedule lightens up to a degree after TCU. So if BYU beats TCU and then wins, I don't know, two of the next three, now you're 4-3 and pacing for what I believe BYU will be at the end of the season in the regular slate of Big 12 play, 10-10. Yes.
Those are quad twos coming up with, you know, like on the road at Utah and Colorado, quad twos.
Yeah, lightening up.
Right, quad twos, not quad threes.
Quad two road games.
Right.
Now, the other thing is, how much time do we now grant Yegor and Dallin? And we've been talking about this.
Every day, all week, yeah.
It deserves it, though. To get right.
Right, it deserves it. They're too good. They're not playing well enough, right, together.
Sean Farnham says they're out of time. It's got to click now. We got to go. Whew. It's tough because how much weight do you put into, okay, well, they were injured, though, both of them. Dallin Hall, if you ask, I talked to two different members of the staff, and they said there was an argument that he was playing at the highest level of any of our players going into the early part of the season until he got injured in August or September or whatever it was.
Which is to be expected somewhat. He was, I would argue, the best player that returned for BYU.
And they said the just hasn't,
Richie.
He hasn't rediscovered it. That explosiveness, that confidence he was playing with, it's just he's working back to it.
I think when Yegor comes, and he's amazing, we're so excited to have him, and you say, you're the guy that primarily has the ball, Dallin might be like, in his mind, well, wait a minute, wasn't I the primary ball handler last year? Like, you can function with both. But BYU has yet to sort of figure that out in a way that works in super meaningful games in terms of great production. Against Arizona State, it worked. Like, Richie had 30 and the team won by 20. Like, whatever they did, it worked. You know, what that looks like still is being figured out. And that's okay. But Sean's point is right. The urgency level, hey, now you're in Big 12 play. Now you need to stack wins. Now the resume is going to be padded in a way where you need to get into bracketology. Right now, BYU's out this morning with Lunardi. Like, that's not a good feeling, January 10th. We would not have predicted that this summer, that, hey, in January, BYU would be out of bracketology. But the good thing is you have 17 league games left, conference tournament, and so on and so forth. There's time to put it together, but you have to start to win on the road. You have to win next week. And then you're going to play some big games where it's like, you can't be figuring it out against Kansas, Arizona, Baylor, Iowa State. You have to have it figured out and do it in those games. So I see that point by Sean.
During our preseason show, when we laid out how many games we thought BYU would win, I think I was three fewer wins than you were because I felt strongly that this team's going to produce some head scratchers. And we're going to be like, what in the world's going on? Because they're super talented. But I put a lot of stock into the staff is new. The team is new, and they're working through some things. And so when we asked the question, are they right back on track, I feel like they would be because I kind of anticipated this. We don't like it. We want success now. We want to see the dividends now.
If you're this talented, should you win at this level?
But I compared it yesterday to look – it's like looking at your 401k every day. Like, if you look at it every day, you'll drive yourself batty. Because you're like, well, why did I lose $2,000 to my 401k day? What the heck? You know, and then some other days it's like there was a huge boost in the stock market and it went up $7,000. But in the long run, if you look at it, okay, from a 4 month perspective, I believe that there will be that general growth and BYU will be right where they need to be.
And does TCU change that? I'm not sure. It's like
it
one game.
It could be like the $3,000 gain in your 401k.
Well, it's a winnable game, right? It's not a like, oh, this would be a good upset on the road. You're at Baylor or whatever. Like, this is a 50-50 game, which brings us to this. Is tomorrow's game at TCU a game that BYU should win?
How do you call a 50-50 game a should win? It's a need to win. It's a little bit of a desperation game, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not ready to say, well, they should win this game because TCU's quality program on their home floor. It's very difficult to win games on the road in the Big 12, especially when you are struggling a little bit and you're coming off a frustrating home loss to Texas Tech. Like, what's the mentality like? Maybe this is a rallying cry for BYU. Maybe the Texas Tech setback refocuses them and revitalizes them. They go and they play their best game of the season. It happens to be on the road, and we're all feeling good after the weekend. I don't know, but I'm not ready to say, like, BYU should win this game. There's a very real possibility that TCU wins a close game and BYU is 1-3 and people are starting to kind of freak out. But then don't be surprised to see BYU win the next three after that and still be 4-3.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, you got to give it a long-term perspective. Like, it's – I'm with you. It's too dramatic to say, like, everything is good if BYU wins tomorrow.
TCU is not good enough for it to be that kind of win. Like, TCU is good, but they're not top tier where it's like, that's a defining statement. It's a 50-50 game, literally.
BYU needs to be 4-3.
51% chance ESPN. Yes. And I almost wonder if they need to be 5-2. Here's why. You're going to play the really tough teams after this stretch. And you're not expected to go 500 in that. You're probably expected to go sub-500 in some of those. So you need to stack some wins.
They have three really tough games following what we just showed you.
You need to stack some wins, I think.
But what if BYU is 4-3 and then they go 1-2 in the next, then they're what, 5-6? Okay. Like, this is kind of what I'm expecting.
Yeah, if we want 10-10. Yeah. TCU, by the way, great 3-point percentage defense, 17th in the country. BYU struggled on Tuesday night to shoot the three. They got to be able to make some threes. BYU's won 17 in a row amazingly against TCU going back to the Mountain West
days. That's one of the more wild stats.
BYU was down by 17 at halftime, too, the last time they played him.
And rallied.
Won by 12.
And rallied. That was crazy.
That was a crazy second half.
That was crazy.
Yeah, I would like to see BYU win and play well and then continue that momentum into next week.
Our question of the day. Do you feel BYU would be back on track with a win at TCU tomorrow? This is a layered discussion, as you are recognizing when Jeremy and I talk about this. At Arkansas Cougar X answers, yes, need to stay above 500 in conference games. Otherwise, it might be NIT time, which would be a shame for this team. Too much potential for that. I think they will bounce back tomorrow. There's a lot of heart on this team. I'm not inclined to say that BYU needs to stay above 500. Like, I literally think they will go an even 500 in conference play.
And honestly, 9-11 wouldn't be the worst thing either.
And they'll still be at 9-11. They still would probably be pacing to be a 10 or 11 seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, they'd be on the bubble.
You might need to win a game in Kansas City to, like, secure it. 10-10 makes me feel better, but if you're 10-10, I think BYU is probably a 7 or an 8 seed.
So after the Oklahoma State, Utah, Colorado stretch, it's Cincinnati, Baylor, UCF, Arizona, Cincinnati, West Virginia, Kansas State, Kansas, Arizona, Arizona State, West Virginia, Iowa State, Utah. There's not a ton of, like, that's a win for sure, that's a win. There's not a ton of those. So it's like, when you have Oklahoma State at home and at Utah, it's like, you have to win
those games.
At Colorado, you've got to win that,
that
game.
That changes. We just asked, should they win that game? There will be a couple
those
of
next three
yeses.
Should win. Although, you look at the metrics, the way BYU's playing after the last two games, it's not a should metrically. But we know what this team can become, so we're excited.
Got to be 4-3 at worst. Just get to 4-3. hopefully 5-2.
Right? But. Hopefully 5-2. Okay, moving on. Which Cougars in the NFL have the best chance of advancing out of the wild card round of the NFL playoffs? Which is exciting that we have Saturday through Monday NFL.
Oh, man.
Not to mention college football playoff today.
Yeah, it's got to be Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens, right?
The Steelers are walking in like the wounded.
Yes.
The walking dead here. They've lost four in a row. They stink.
It's got to be Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens with the clear best shot to advance out of the wild card round. After that, I don't know, Jeremy.
I like Michael Davis and the Commanders. I think the Commanders are sneaky good. They have to go on the road against the Bucs, but the NFC South wasn't that good this year.
Yeah, and the Bucs are like feast or famine.
They're
feast or famine.
They're either scoring 40 or they're losing.
Like head scratcher, they score 13 points and lose by 30.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Will Michael Davis have to guard Mike Evans at any point in that game? Like, excited for that game. I think the Vikings Rams is really interesting.
That's tough for Puka.
That game gets moved to Phoenix with the Flyers in LA.
You don't have your true home crowd. It's a weird situation. The Vikings are really good.
Emotionally, you're going through a lot with what's going on with the Flyers. Yeah, the Vikings are like, oh, could have been the one seed. Now we're the five. Like, and they're trying to prove themselves a little bit, and they're on the road.
Dan Campbell, the Lions head coach, after the win to clinch the number one seed on Sunday night, literally said to Minnesota, I'll see you in 2 weeks.
expecting them to
rematch in the playoffs.
And the Vikings are good. But, yeah, excited for the boys. I agree with you. I think the Ravens most likely to win.
That's Steelers. The clear number one.
Yeah. Ravens are fun to watch, man. That's a really fun
game. Maybe it is the Commanders have the second best shot, even though the Rams have a home game, but the home game's in Arizona.
I like the Vikings.
The Vikings are so good.
Yeah.
Like, the matchup for the Commanders is, to your point, the best. You just hope you don't get the feast Bucks, because if the Bucks offense is rolling, then they're a weird team, right?
Yeah.
They're a weird team.
And it's Jaden Daniels' first
playoff game. Yeah.
Crazy to think he was the Arizona State quarterback here in 21. Like in the Tyler Allgeier punch-out.
And lost.
He's the quarterback on the other side.
Heisman Trophy.
LSU wins the Heisman Trophy.
Oh, yeah.
Crazy, man.
Things change.
Wow. As we mentioned, big game for men's basketball at TCU. You can listen to the pregame starting at 1 Eastern time tomorrow. BYU, I don't know if they have to win the game, but it feels like if they don't, things start to get a little weird here.
Then the pressure is on to win the next three. It's like, uh-oh.
It's on no matter what for me.
Woo! Up next, Jimmer Fredette offers his opinion on the gravity of tomorrow's game and what BYU needs to do to beat TCU and get things rolling the right direction in the Big 12. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Everything hasn't clicked yet, and when it clicks, it's going to be great. It's January. It has to click. You're in conference play. If you don't protect your home court, you're going to struggle to finish in the top half of the conference.
It is go time. We are live in Studio B with your day-to-day BYU Sports play-by-play. I'm Spencer Linton alongside Jerem Jordan. The last time BYU men's basketball won an NCAA tournament game in the round of 64 was when a guy named Jimmer Fredette played all the way back in 2011, hoping that they can get off the schneid in that regard.
Absolutely. And Jimmer knows what it's like to make a bunch of shots. And you know, what's his advice for Yegor Demin right now? Playing at TCU, it's the first time since he was on the team, as you mentioned, that they're playing in Fort Worth. Many of those questions and more are discussed as I talked to Jimmer earlier this morning. Jimmer, you've done a ton in your career, but coaching now is kind of the next step. How's volunteer assisting at the local high school, Chatfield, there in Colorado?
It's been really good. It's been a lot of fun. I got into it because my wife, Whit, she is the cheer coach at Chatfield. She's an assistant cheer coach. She loves it. She's been doing great. And they found out that I was her husband and asked, hey, would he be willing to help with the basketball team? And I was like, yeah, this will be fun for me. Excited to work with kids, work with the youth, and be able to try to just, you know, send as much knowledge as I possibly can to them on the player development side and just enjoy some high school basketball. It's fun to get into a high school gym again and see the town all come together and be able to come to a game and see the energy that it has. So it brings me right back to Glens Falls High School days, and it's been a lot of fun.
Not a lot of people know this, but we hung out at your high school once upon a time, the summer before 2010-11 season. That was fun. I said, hey, can you assist me on a three? I missed the first one. I made the second one. I felt good about that. There's sort of a raw purity to that. Yeah, I tried. I missed the first one. My bad. let's talk about what BYU is doing now in the Big 12, and certainly coming off a disappointing loss to Texas Tech. They've got a big game with TCU coming up Saturday. Of course, TCU, you played TCU a bunch. How are you feeling about what BYU is right now and where they can go?
Yeah, you know, obviously the last couple of games, it's been tough. Houston, Texas Tech, both really good teams. That's what you're going to get in the Big 12. It's just the way it works. You're going to play really good teams on any given night, and you're going to have to be prepared to battle each and every night. And we knew that Texas Tech was going to come in. We beat them last year, and they were going to come in and, you know, be prepared and ready to go. And I'm excited to see how we continue to progress. Obviously, two losses in a row. Now we need to see how we can bounce back against a TCU team that we can beat, obviously, and it's something that we have to take care of business, but none of these games are going to be easy. So it's just a mentality of next game up. Hopefully if you can get to, like you said, if you can get to around 500 in the Big 12, you're probably making the NCAA tournament because you're going to get some really big wins and you're going to play close games against really good opponents. So it's going to be important for, you know, these guys to just next game up mentality and, you know, have someone step up and play well during crunch time.
At TCU, the last time BYU played in Fort Worth, you were a senior, your Naismith and National Player of the Year, which was awesome. You had 23 points below the average, I think, of 28.9. So it was just a tiny bit underwhelming at 23. What do you remember about that game?
So what I do remember is, you know, at that point we were playing really good basketball, and I think it was about 75% of the fans were actually BYU fans. So it actually felt like a home game in TCU in Fort Worth. I remember going into the game, going out of the game. We had to have security because there's so many people outside that were waiting for us at the bus to try to get in to be able to hang out and just, you know, take pictures and autographs. So we had a great BYU contingent down there at TCU. I don't know if it'll be the same this time, but well, I hope so. I hope all the BYU fans come out, and if we can get 75% feel like a home game, that would be helpful.
That would be awesome. And amazingly, BYU's won 17 in a row against the Horned Frogs. Like, it feels weird to say that. Certainly it's a different TCU than it was in that era, but last year's game, BYU was down 17 at halftime, Jimmer, and came back to win by 12. Yeah. So certainly different teams every year with the transfer portal and whatnot, but the way BYU's playing, certainly there's some NBA excitement around Yegor Demin and Cannon Catchings. What's the key for those guys to elevate their game, to be their best self, so that they can maximize their chance to get to the NBA?
Yeah, I think, in Big 12 play, these teams are super aggressive defensively. They get up into these guys. A lot of these guards are smaller, quick, very strong guards that are just, they're just Bulldogs. And, you know, it's something that's a little bit different that we played against in the non-conference schedule for the most part. And so it's going to have to be something where these guys kind of assert themselves physically to make sure that they're using their big frame. These guys are tall guys. They're 6'7", 6'8", 6'9". You know, just use that body, get into these guys, be able to get to their spot, and try not to let that pressure bother them too much. Use that body to be able to get to a spot and then elevate and rise up over these guys. I think that's something that needs to be done, you know, especially at the Big 12 game. But it's just about being mentally and physically just tough. These guys are, they're going to come out and play every single game like it's their last. That's just the way that the Big 12 is, because these are all super important games for NCAA tournament reasons. So I think it's something that where they seem to be, you know, assert themselves physically a little bit more and make sure they get into their guy, not be afraid of that physicality and use that to their advantage.
It felt like in the first half, especially against Texas Tech, BYU was doing that, Jimmer. They were getting to the rim. They were getting to the free throw line. They weren't knocking down free throws. They weren't making open threes. Sometimes you just miss, which brings me to this. Yegor Demon, he's got a nice looking stroke. Shot the ball well at the beginning of the year. He went through a stretch until the very last three he took against Texas Tech where he missed 21 threes in a row. He's coming off a bit of a knee injury. Not that you know what a shooting slump is, but what's your advice to a guy who is trying to get back into a rhythm where we know he's a better shooter than this, he just hasn't made some shots?
Yeah, it's just mental at this point. I mean, that's just this how it works sometimes. You know, as a guy that is a shooter, I've been through slumps before. And the biggest thing is trying. Yeah, I've been through slumps before. I can't remember right now exactly, but at some point but the biggest thing, you got to get back into the gym. I know obviously he's doing that, but get back to the basics and get back to a routine that you're doing every single day of shots that you're getting in the game and making sure that you're getting to those in practice, doing them game speed and making sure you're getting a number of makes that you feel comfortable with to make sure that you get that rhythm back. Right. And make sure. So when you get into the game, you're shooting these exact same shots they were just shooting in practice. You have a comfort level and then try not to think about it. And it's easier said than done. It's just getting out there and playing reactively and letting that muscle memory, you know, kick in and not thinking about it too much. Just understand what the defense is giving you. Practice, you know, is going to be important. You have to go game speed when you're practicing and making sure that you're shooting the same shots that you're going to get in the game. If you can do that and get a rhythm and get an actual routine and do that for, you know, a couple of weeks in a row, I feel like you get back into a sense of, all right, I can hit these shots again. This is exactly what I'm doing in practice. This is the exact same shots I'm getting in the game. And if you can feel that, you know, it's going to help you once you get back out there. But, you know, it's easier said than done, like I said, because it is mental. You just have to not think about it. You have to have short-term memory loss as a shooter. I don't even remember if I made or missed that last one. The next one is going in, though. And you have to have that type of mentality. And I think he can get there. You know, hopefully, you know, that one that he made at the end can take the lid off of the basket and feel a little bit more comfortable going into this next game.
Ted Lasso, be a goldfish. Jimmer Fredette is on BYU Sports Nation. Dallin Hall was a massive piece of what BYU did last year on a very successful team in Big 12 play, got to the NCAA tournament. This year, it still feels like he's kind of carving out what his role is when he inserts himself with Yegor Demon and whatnot. Much has been made of that this week. What are you seeing from Dallin, and what do you hope to see in terms of him trying to figure it out a little bit better?
Yeah, you know, it's been a season of trying to figure it out right now for Dallin. I love Dallin. He's such a tough kid. He's such a great basketball player. And one thing I want him to do is I really want him to be a leader on this team. I feel like we need that. Him and Richie need to be two of the guys that they're stepping up and leading this team from a toughness standpoint of just going out there and playing as hard as he possibly can. Because, you know, for him, he was used to having the ball on his hands all the time for the first 2 years, right? He's dribbling the ball. He's making all the plays. He has a feel and a rhythm for the ball. That's not necessarily the case this year all the time. Yegor has the ball a lot. You know, Cannon's catching and shooting. Richie's being a little bit more assertive. So he's not necessarily always the guy that's handling the basketball. So he's having to learn how to play off the ball more. But the things that he can control is, you know, on defense, getting into a guy, creating some turnovers, maybe getting some easy run-out baskets for himself, and making sure that he's shooting his shot with confidence. You know, not shooting the ball great this year, especially from the two. So I want to see him just continue to be aggressive, you know, play the game that he needs to play. And be someone who's a little bit more assertive out there and try not to be, you know, too passive. I understand that's not super easy sometimes when you don't have the ball all the time, but being able to cut hard and do all these things where you just feel like you're a part of the game, even when you don't have the basketball, is going to get you a little bit more in rhythm when you do get that basketball. So, you know, I'm excited to see how he continues to grow into the season. I think that, you know, he understands that he needs to, you know, step his game up more for this team to be great. And if he and Yegor can be the players that we think that they can be, this team can be really difficult to stop. So, you know, I'm excited to see how he continues to progress going into this next game.
I completely agree. Dallin, Yegor, huge keys to what BYU could become this year, which it's different now, Jimmer. BYU hired an NBA associate head coach. It's the Provo thing. They've stacked this staff with NBA people, from nutrition to strength and conditioning to mental strength to the actual coaches. It's a new era. Perhaps we underestimated maybe how long it might take to sort of transition into this phase, but BYU gets a guy like Yegor Demon, Cannon Catchings. AJ DiBonta's coming. What are you seeing in terms of the transition of what this program is becoming under Kevin Young now?
Yeah, no, it's different. I mean, you're becoming like a blue blood type program, right? You're looking at a Duke type of program, a Kentucky type of program, where you're getting top tier recruits, guys that are going to be, you know, top 10 pick in the draft. In AJ's case, probably the number one pick. Yegor, probably a top 10 pick, you know, guys of this nature that are going to come into your program. So you're looking at kind of like the roster that they have this year, which is a couple of young guys that are super talented, probably NBA picks that may be one and dones. And then also you're going to have a group of guys like the Richies, like the Dallins, like the Foose, where these guys are the guys that are playing around these top 10 draft picks. And everyone's going to have to get used to that, because at BYU, it's normally been, you've been here from a freshman, you're there all the way until you're a senior, you grow into your roles, you understand what you're doing. So, you know, freshman and sophomore year, you're not playing quite as much, but you're understanding. Junior, senior year, you kind of take over. It's going to be a little bit different. And you're going to have guys that are coming in that are all of a sudden, hey, they're going to have the ball the majority of the time because they're great basketball players. And that's, you know, what they're going to do. And everyone else is going to have to fit in around that. So it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment. You're going to see some amazing basketball because of the talent level that is coming into to BYU. You're going to see some things that you haven't seen before, necessarily on a talent standpoint. But it does take time for those roles to understand everyone's what their role is and understand how they play when they are used to having the ball more. And now they're playing off the ball more. When a new guy is coming in, you got to understand what their game is and how they play and how, where they like to get their shots off. So there's going to be a little bit of a period of, you know, figuring things out, and that's okay. They're still going through that at this point. Like I said, it's been three Big 12 games. These are probably the three toughest games they played all season. And they're starting to figure out, hey, this is how we need to compete. This is how we need to play. So I'm not worried for them yet at this point. I think that there's still time to be able to figure those things out. But the roles are going to have to be defined, and they're going to have to understand exactly what they do. And once they figure that out exactly, they're going to be a really good basketball team as they move forward, you know, into this program from this year, next year, and the years beyond.
TCU Saturday and then Oklahoma State Tuesday at Utah next Saturday. You hope BYU can string together some wins here in the next couple of games. Jimmer, we appreciate the time. As always, great to talk to you.
Jerem, it's great. Good seeing you again. Let's go Cougs.
Go Cougs indeed. Thanks to Jimmer Fredette. Women's hoops, big game tomorrow as well, taking on Kansas State, number 12 in the country. 6 Eastern, Spencer Linton on the call on ESPN+. Plus. Shep on BYU Ready.
Maybe you've noticed the winter sports season now in full swing, and we've got a lot to discuss in headlines next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Station on social. We're on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I am Spencer Linton. He is Jerem Jordan. It is a Friday, and a Friday full of headlines. So let's do it.
Men's basketball at TCU tomorrow in a battle of 1 and 2 Big 12 teams. We always won 17 straight in the series, which just sounds crazy. Pre-game coverage begins tomorrow, 1 Eastern on BYU Radio, with the game at 2 Eastern, also on ESPN2.
The latest BYU football transfer portal movement features now former Cougar safety Micah Harper, who has committed to Montana. Harper totaled 98 tackles across 32 games in his BYU career.
Cougars in the NFL playoffs. Kyle Van Noy and the Ravens take on the Steelers. Zach Wilson and the Broncos travel to Buffalo to play the Bills. Chris Brooks, Zane Anderson, and the Packers play the Eagles. Michael Davis and the Commanders play at the Bucks. And Puka Nacua and the Rams play on Monday against the Vikings. That game moved to Arizona due to wildfires in LA. And congratulations to the greatest defensive player from BYU in the NFL ever, Fred Warner, who was this morning named a first-team All-Pro for the fourth time in his career. Whew. He's booked his ticket to Canton, Ohio as a Pro Football Hall of Famer in the future. Mark it down.
Twice in high-profile commercials as well. How great is it to have so many guys involved in the playoffs?
Awesome.
BYU women's basketball hosting number 12 Kansas State tomorrow in the Marriott Center. The Cougars trying to secure a second straight conference win and will need a Herculean upset to do so. You can watch tomorrow's upset bid on ESPN Plus or listen on BYU Radio beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern.
Number 6 men's volleyball plays St. Thomas Aquinas in the home opener tonight at 9 Eastern. That's a D2 team from New York. Same two teams tomorrow night. Watch it live on the BYU TV app and Big Ten Plus. Tomorrow's match is live on Big Ten Plus, then on demand at midnight Eastern on the BYU TV app.
22nd-ranked BYU Gymnastics will compete in Corvallis, Oregon against number 9 Oregon State in a dual meet tomorrow. The Cougars working to build on a team score of 194.625, shaking off some rust in their season debut last weekend.
196 or don't come back. Men and women's track and field continue competing in the Cougar Invitational today and tomorrow at the Smithfield House.
BYU men's and women's swim and dive return to action after a winter break this weekend. The dive team in Salt Lake City competing in the Utah Invite, while the swim team will host UC Irvine for a dual meet.
Former BYU golfer Patrick Fishburne, a.k.a. Ginger Quick,
yep,
is currently tied for 7th.
Big red.
Sony Open on Oahu, Hawaii, after shooting 500 par in the opening round. He's feeling good in Hawaii, and he's playing good golf. Congratulations to Patrick. Keep it up this weekend, baby.
P. Fish up next. Michigan transfer offensive lineman Andrew Gentry making his BYU Sports Nation debut in studio. Why was BYU the clear landing spot for such a coveted recruit? Meet the new big man next. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU has a formidable recruiting pitch to outstanding players.
Notably Andrew Gentry, offensive lineman from Michigan, and Keanu Tanuvasa from Utah.
Chase Roberts' comeback is huge, huge.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. We are live in Studio B, a loaded Friday show. Alongside Jerem Jordan, I am Spencer Linton.
Just guests from Colorado.
A couple of Coloradans, not Coloradans.
You used to live in Colorado.
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude, maybe we should start the conversation with the great Andrew Gentry, new BYU offensive lineman, with this question. How much does it make you cringe when someone says Colorado?
You know, not too bad. But here, more than anywhere, I feel like, is right here. People don't pick it up on it too much in Michigan, but you know, hey, it's the same spot, so we're good.
Okay, Provo's not unfamiliar to you.
No.
One, you came to games as a kid. There are a bunch 100%. Of pictures out there, which is fun. But two, you were originally called to serve in Argentina, but you got reassigned to Provo on your mission.
I was in Orem.
Orem, sorry.
Yeah, so right down the street. So, I mean, yeah, I've been around here and, you know, spent 2 years of my life right here down the street. So I love this place. It's a great spot to be. So glad I ended up back here.
Several connections, and you were just telling us during the break that, yeah, you are from Colorado like Jim or Fredette, but you're actually – you know them well. You're friends with the Fredettes.
Yep.
He's coaching at a rival high school,
He sure is. Yeah, that was the high school I was supposed to go to, is the one that Jimmer's coaching at. And so his wife, her family has been some of our really good friends since I can remember. She was our babysitter growing up, Whitney Fredette.
Whitney was your babysitter?
She was our babysitter growing up. Isn't that funny? So, yeah, so her dad, Rich, is like best friends with my dad.
Rich is great.
Oh, he's awesome.
We're going to talk about a diehard BYU fan.
Oh, yeah. When I went to Michigan, he was a little sad about that. Always super supportive. But, you know, he was one of the first people I called when I committed to BYU out of the transfer portal, and he's excited.
You're a big dude. JT, your brother's in my ward, Mapleton. Yep. I love JT. At what age were you when you were taller than Whitney, your babysitter? Because she's not the tallest.
You know, I don't know if I remember. Like,
you were like,
that's all I can remember.
You were like 10?
Probably, something like that.
8-year-old Andrew is towering over Whitney.
Like, no, I'm not going to bed. You don't tell me what to do.
Exactly.
That's great. Okay, everybody wants to know, because you were clearly a highly coveted prospect in the transfer portal, what did BYU do to secure you? Why was this the right place?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing was how they played last year, right? You know, seeing how well they did. And there's a sense of urgency here. That's what I've told people when they ask me. There's a sense of urgency to win. And that's something that I loved at my time at Michigan is, you know, being on a team that went to the College Football Playoff my freshman year, won the CFP my sophomore year, and then obviously last year struggled a little bit. But there's always that sense of urgency to win.
But still beat Ohio State.
Still beat Ohio State all 3 years, and that's all that matters, right?
Right, and Alabama.
Yeah, exactly. So had some great years there. And when I was in the transfer portal, I didn't want to settle for anything less. I wanted to go to a spot that was going to win. And really, you know, BYU in these last few years since I've been at Michigan has really transitioned, I believe, to a spot where they're ready to win. There's an urgency to win. The way that their, you know, their staff is set up with their strength staff, the way that Coach Satake's coaching things. And I love Coach Woods as well. Yeah. And so there's just a lot of really great things happening here in Provo. And I wanted to help build on that. And I'm just super excited they were willing to take me in the portal and super excited for what's next.
Was there a relationship there from being recruited out of high school? Because certainly you grew up coming to games like BYU.
Yep.
Now BYU's in a different position in the Big 12 and winning at a different level. Kind of what was the relationship with the staff out of high school?
Yeah, it was a great relationship, especially, you know, Coach Satake. It's obviously changed a lot. I mean, I think Coach Satake is really one of the few people that's on staff from when I was in high school. But had a great relationship with him. He was always super supportive. Even when I went to Michigan, there was never hard feelings or anything like that. And so, you know, it just kind of felt like we picked up where we left off when I was in the portal. And Coach Satake's always been great. And so having the chance to come back and play for him was something I was super, super excited about.
And Rich Wanacock got on board quickly as well.
Yeah, no doubt. Rich was right there.
He was probably a second phone call. Yeah, baby!
Yeah, exactly. I mean, hey, Rich was like, when I was little, Rich would always introduce me. He said, this is what a BYU offensive lineman looks like when he's eight. And so he was right.
That's
Rich
awesome.
Called it. Rich called it.
JT and my ward, I was like, JT, why didn't you tell me Andrew was coming? I wanted a little
yeah,
heads up here.
Right?
Maybe next time, but no, that's awesome. Man.
He is the newest BYU offensive lineman, Andrew Gentry, making his BYU Sports Nation debut. What's that first contact and phone call like when you are in the portal? Like, what was it like with BYU? Was it Coach Satake here? Was it Coach Woods or somebody else?
Yeah, it's crazy. I tell you what, the transfer portal is a wild world out there. So I entered about 9 a.m. on December 9th is when I entered the portal. And at 9:05, my phone rang. And it was NC State, funny enough, right? So Coach Tuja had that connection here, right?
Love
so it was Coach Tuja. Yeah, love Coach Tuja. He's awesome. And so heard from him. And then just the whole day, my phone was ringing. At 9:30, I picked up a phone call, was on the phone for 15 minutes, and I missed six calls just in that one 15-minute span. And so it was a crazy, crazy day. And then, you know, BYU called later that day. And, you know, it was kind of the whole staff, actually, that was on that phone call. I talked to Coach Woods, talked to Tyson McDaniel on the offensive line, offensive assistants.
Mm-hmm.
Talked to Coach Satake as well. And so it's crazy, right? In high school, you know, you kind of have some time to process when you get an offer and you're not hearing. But when you're in the portal, man, it's like 3 days of just getting hit by every single coach. Your Twitter's blowing up and all this different stuff. But I'm grateful for it. It was a good experience for me. And again, just grateful to have ended up here. So
really did you feel excited. The love from Cougar Nation? Because they were really excited that you came here.
Yeah, Cougar Nation's always been awesome and always very supportive as well. You know, even at my time at Michigan, they were very supportive of me and the things I was doing out there. And so it made it a really easy transition to come to here. And I'm very blessed, right? And, you know, I think Heavenly Father really guided me here to BYU. And I'm grateful for my time at Michigan. I know that's where I was supposed to be for those first 3 years and really feel very strong. This is where I'm supposed to finish out my career is here at BYU.
Yeah, BYU fans were flying the return missionary flag hard when Michigan
no doubt.
Was winning the national championship. Like, yeah, one of us!
Yeah, one of us! Safety zone!
No
safety
zone! Yeah, exactly. There we go.
You used next level situational awareness and decided to choose BYU.
And
no BYU.
100%.
Okay. As you look to step in and be an immediate impact on the offensive line, what have you heard at this point of the plan that Coach Woods has for you next year? You're obviously going to be very versatile, but what do you see and what are they telling you you're going to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's a great offensive line room right now. There's a lot of really good guys that have shown that they can play at BYU and have shown that they can do a lot of really good things here. And so, you know, for me, I'm not coming in here expecting to just be the guy, right? And I know that has to be earned in the weight room, especially with me rehabbing, right? I'll miss, you know, a little bit of spring ball and different things like that. So for me, you know, the plan right now is get healthy as fast as I can, right? Get rehab, get 100%. And then, you know, I'll be playing tackle, right, hopefully. But it's just going in there and competing, really. And that's what I told coaches is, you know, I'm not in this to ask for a guaranteed starting spot or anything like that. I know that that's earned. And there's a lot of guys that have put blood, sweat, and tears into this program. And so I'm going to, you know, put that blood, sweat, and tears right with them and earn my spot, right, and do it that way.
It's a Liz Frank, right?
It is.
When did it happen?
October 26th against Michigan State. Mm. Yeah.
And how long are you
Sparty!
In the booth?
I know, right?
Yeah. Yeah. How long are you in the boot?
Hopefully just one more week. I'm out of it. Yeah, so hopefully in a week, get out of the boot, and then can start walking around like a normal person.
Nice. You missed, you mentioned you missed on the spring ball. I mean, what's the timetable there?
Yeah, so not 100% sure yet. We're looking, you know, sometime April, May-ish right now. So, you know, the training staff here is amazing, too, at BYU. And a big reason why I picked BYU as well was trying to find somebody that could rehab, because I'm no good if I'm sitting on the sidelines, right, no matter where I end up. And BYU has great resources here with physical therapists and trainers and doctors that I've already met with. And I was rehabbing this morning and yesterday and really just trying to do as fast as we can to get back and healthy and ready to go for the season.
You going for Texas tonight?
Oh, 100%. 100%. I mean, somebody asked me, they said, you know, who do you want to win the CFP? And, you know, right now I really don't have a dog in the fight, but I said, just as long as Ohio State does not win, then we're good. We're good. So 100%, I'll be rooting for Texas tonight, and we're hoping.
Who doesn't want a transitive national championship to go along with the actual national championship?
Right? What's weird is that woke them up. The moment they kind of got over it is the moment they kind of became who they probably should have been most of the year, but hey. Picked them off.
Exactly. That's all that matters, right? Yep. As long as we're beating that team down south.
And we like Sark, BYU guy, Cotton Bowl.
Yeah,
there's some
no
fun
doubt.
History there.
No doubt. Yep. No doubt. Texas beat the brakes off us pretty good this year, though, too. So it'll be fun to watch. I'm excited to watch it.
Okay. Let's finish with this. Just some quick hitters. What do you like to do outside of football?
Yeah, that's a great question, man. I love to be outside. I love to golf. I'm a big golf fan, so I heard there's some great golf.
You'll fit in nicely.
Absolutely. You'll love it here.
That's good. So I'm excited for that. Love to fish as well. Love to be outside. Love hanging out with my family, like you mentioned. My brother's down here, so that was a big draw to come back to BYU as well. Love being at the O-line room as well, hanging out with the boys in the O-line room. I know that's different because, like, you know, 90% of the guys here are married or something like that. So, you know, different for sure. But, no, love being around the boys and different things like that too. So I'm a pretty chill guy, though, so excited to really do whatever and you know, down to be whatever.
Do you already have people you already know on the team or have a existing friendship or relationship with any guy?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. I didn't know too many guys coming in, but guys have been great. I mean, guys have been so welcoming. When I was in the portal, they were doing a great job of making me feel welcome, like this could be, you know, my home and different things like that. So I've really, really enjoyed that. Really enjoyed getting to know the guys. There's a couple guys that were playing with JT when he was here too that he's had a good relationship with that has been good to kind of continue that as well. So, but everybody on the team, honestly, I don't have anything bad to say. They've all been amazing and I've loved being a part of it.
Okay. Some advice as we say goodbye to you. If you want to feel good about your golf game, play with around with me and Jerem and Coach Satake.
All right.
Okay, you'll feel good about your game after that round.
Do not play with Jay Hill, Fessy Satake,
and Parker Kingston.
Parker Kingston.
Don't play with those guys.
Good to know.
You want to feel bad about your game.
They're amazing.
That's good to know.
Spencer's got game. I have no game.
Andrew, great to have you.
Yeah, nice to meet you, man.
Thank you so much for having
Welcome.
Me.
Yeah.
We're going to send you some BYU Sports Station karma to heal up quickly, and can't wait to watch you play.
Thank you. Excited to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Hook 'em horns tonight, right?
Let's go, Sark.
Number 6 men's volleyball. Home opener tonight in the Smith Fieldhouse. Can't wait to be there with Steve Vail and Kenzie. It'll be awesome. It's St. Thomas Aquinas, the Spartans, taking on BYU 9 Eastern on the BYU TV app.
Still on the way, an elite voice and rise and shout out, which are more than worthy of some Friday good vibes. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
To BYU Sports Nation, hey, we need to address this really quickly. Ohio State, Texas tonight in the Cotton Bowl Classic. Yeah. Sark's back in the Cotton Bowl, Jerem.
Sark in the Cotton Bowl.
And we're all in on that, right?
Yeah. Ohio State's so talented. It'd be an upset if Texas won this game. But hook 'em horns, go Sark, rep in the Cotton Bowl again. Would love that.
And I tell everybody, every Texas fan I meet, that I love Quinn Ewers so much because of our interaction.
He was our first interview at Big 12 Football Media Day 2 years ago.
He was awesome.
He was very nice. I had his cowboy boots, his beard, the whole thing. He was great.
Yes.
I've been a fan since our interview.
I love Quinn.
Yeah.
Our question of the day, would BYU be back on track with a win at TCU tomorrow in men's basketball? Our elite voice of the day presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated from Tom Newfer on X, who says, any Big 12 win on the road is a big deal. Agreed. Yes, a road win would put them back on the precarious path that is Big 12 conference play.
It'd be nice to be 2-2. I don't want BYU to be sub 500 for long, if at all. Just around 500.
We were having this conversation last year, too. Like, Started 0-2, got to get back to 500.
Yep. I forgot they started 0-2.
Right?
Yep.
Today's Rise and Shoutout, presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics.
Good luck to the Cougars in the NFL playoffs, of which there are many for BYU. Excited for those guys, and happy the Niners aren't in the playoffs. Also, and my Seahawks. But good luck to Fred. Thoughts and prayers to everyone affected by the LA wildfires, by the way. That continues to rage, and we're just thinking about all everybody down there, especially all the Cougar alum and many of you that watch the program.
We love you. Thanks to today's guests, Jimmer Fredette and Andrew Gentry.
Sorry to Dennis Pitt, I ran out of time.
All of our shows on demand, BYUSN.com. For Jeremy, I'm Spencer. Shout out to Celester Rivers. See you tonight for BYU Men's Volleyball on the BYU TV app. Go Cougs!
Volleyball!